out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host, and it's my car, my rules, Sean Roney.
I'm Edwin James, and you can't fire me. I don't work in this van.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Dwight, are you peeing?
I'm peeing in this empty can.
Oh, oh my God, man. What? That is disgusting, Dwight.
Well, you said we couldn't make any more stops. I really had to go.
Oh, Michael, watch the road.
Hey,
you're making me scream.
Oh, my God.
Kill you, man.
Michael.
That is just so disgusting.
I think I cut my penis on the lid.
Chaos. Pure chaos.
Cut a chunk out of my penis for nothing.
One of the most chaotic moments on the show. Let's be real.
Most definite. Mm-hmm. And just before high bar. Talking about building or bringing a bomb to Utica.
Dude, peeing while moving in any situation like that is just always chaos. There's live liquid happening. They're swerving. It's just terrible.
Does he say you're making me spray?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week we'll start with our main topic. We'll move to ordinary things after that, which is where we compare our own lives to the show. We'll go to a conference room where Alex has a little something to discuss with us, and then we'll finish up with trivia from a listener.
Well, I have a listener voicemail to share with you.
Okay.
That's what I'll do.
Well, great. But this week's topic is car moments.
Hmm. So this topic was originally posed to us in a mailbag episode from, I believe, back in May. Thanks again to Audrey from Illinois, who called and left this initial question. But we decided to, and we talked about it in the moment, wanting to expand this to a full episode. I think it fits in line with the episodes we've done about different locations around the business park. And I am very excited because there is a lot of really interesting scenes in cars, and they do a lot in the show. They have a very specific sort of function, I think. So we're going to talk about what that kind of means. And then, of course, we're just going to go through some great car moments in the show. There is an endless list, it seems. So very excited to get into it.
You know, let's take the top down.
Yeah.
Put our hair back.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so in thinking about this episode, I really feel like car scenes are a very unique little chunk of the show. The Office and mockumentary shows in general give you this kind of intimacy with characters because of the talking heads. So there's an element of a character speaking directly to the camera, directly to the viewer, about what they're going through, about what is happening. How many episodes begin with Pam or Jim saying, "It's this day in the office. It's casual Friday in the office. And Michael is doing this." Something along those lines. And we always get that insight into what the characters are doing. This is the car scene is kind of a different, it's a very unique sort of scene where it's always almost always two characters sitting. And they often have like very intimate discussions.
Or a surprise
third. Yeah, yeah. But they have these discussions, and they often like drive the plot of the show forward, or they share details that they wouldn't normally share with each other, or you create different pairings within the show. Like Traveling Salesman, for example, is just a bunch of unique pairings between salesmen.
Right.
And you get a bunch of different conversations. You get great interactions between Michael and Dwight in the car. Just it's a whole little subgenre within the show.
Yeah.
That I feel like people don't talk about very much.
There's also subgenres of the car scenes themselves, which is based on the vantage point of the camera, based on what's going to happen. You've got them in the middle, the camera in the middle rear seat, looking out the dash, with the two of them. If there's things that are going to happen in front, I'm thinking the lake, thinking Meredith. You've got the camera in the front passenger seat, getting the driver and the back seat, the Amazing Race style, if you will, if you've seen that show. They always have people sit that way. That's like lecture circuit. And then you've got, of course, just the mounted dash cams.
Dash cam.
Right in front or to the side, which to me is by far the funniest vantage point. There's something about the visual quality of the dash cam that makes it even funnier, and I don't know why.
Well, there's something interesting too about the dash cam, which is that there's not a camera crew member in the car with them. So some of these events are happening without another person present, which is how a lot of things happen in the office. Michael kind of performs for the camera all the time. Jim giving his signature look to the camera. Those you don't have, like, I feel like that's a little bit of a crutch for those guys. And
when you know, I've never realized that till you said it, but we never get a Jim looked at the camera in a car.
In the car, yeah.
Unless, no, well, when, remember when...
To a dash cam.
In a dash cam, yes. But I'm thinking of in Branch Wars when he gets, get down, when he's trying to avoid Karen.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I mean, to a dash cam, it's weird that he never would look, like, it's almost like they want those there as if they're not there.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Like, Jim would know they're there. He would look at a dash cam.
Right. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure if, what about when he stops the car really fast? Dwight's in the back and says that he should sit in the back because drivers protect their side in a crash. And then Jim,
I think
just
he just smiles to himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're probably right.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's also a lot of times you get, like you mentioned, Alex, a third character in the car who sometimes is... There's an element of being trapped a lot of the times in the car scenes.
It's just
Jim is trapped. Daryl is trapped when Michael
Ryan
and Holly are
trapped.
Breaking up. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we should get some air.
Yeah.
No, I'm okay. I guess that's the other vantage point is camera zooming in from a ways away to people having a conversation in the back of a car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mainly Aaron and Pam Jim is like, that was so boring. which I don't like Jim for that moment. It's like, come on, dude.
It's
kind of interesting. Yeah, we've talked about this.
There's also the part in the Alliance, I think, when when Jim gets in the car with Dwight and he screeches out and then screeches into another parking spot and turns the radio up really loud.
Angel of the Centerfold. But I do think there's a very unique selection of scenes where the plot really gets moved forward with car scenes. I think in Traveling Salesman, when Phyllis talks to Karen about being with Jim and thinking, feeling like, oh, I felt like he would never get over Pam, which kind of sparks
that's
another conversation with them. Or in Lecture Circuit, when Michael and Pam are in the car together and they make the executive decision after they see Karen and Pam gets closure to go to Nashua to try to go see Holly. Like, there's the car kind of sets up those very direct conversations in a way that probably wouldn't happen in the office itself.
Showcases Michael's athleticism, running 31 miles an hour. also, and even not in the car, but like I'm thinking Women's Appreciation with the flat tire. And there's that moment where they're sort of all Michael and the girls are all stranded on the side of the road. Pam ends up fixing the tire, and that becomes a thing where sort of it bolsters Pam's confidence and her, even just those little things. And when Michael... Michael puts the tire iron on the edge of the jack, and then he's like, then he stands out and he's waving traffic by the car. It's like all this stuff to showcase, like, Michael literally has no shred of knowledge about cars, whereas Pam is like, I at least can change a flat tire. So yeah, even outside the car can serve as a way for characters to sort of showcase who they are.
There is a lot of characters.
Or Andy as the mechanic, knowing no idea what to do with her.
Aren't you a mechanic? Why wouldn't you put oil in a car?
It's a damsel in distress. What are you talking about?
But there's also, you talk about characters kind of showing who they are. There's this version of Andy who's really traveling salesman when he's with Michael.
Yeah.
And he keeps talking about Dwight and like, oh, shrewd at it. That's what people say around the office. Like, he's really pulling that thread between Michael and Dwight. And he kind of shows who he is a little bit. It also serves to move the plot forward. And when I believe it's in Goodbye, Michael, when Andy and D'Angelo go on their sales call together.
Yes.
I know this is one of Sean's favorite moments, but we just see how strange D'Angelo is.
Andy Shelto. Mm-hmm.
Andy, you ever high five? Not while I'm driving.
Yeah. And then I love.
Tell him to do it again!
You feel that?
You feel that energy?
Clutch cream run, bro.
I think, too, oh, man. Of all of the Michael and Dwight moments, there's an element of Michael and Dwight's friendship that it's at its truest in the car, because Michael is almost never concerned about how it looks to the people around him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He's never worried about impressing Todd Packer or looking cool in front of the camera, or Alex is licking his lips like this. Yeah. But yeah. Oh, hi. You're there, right. Shark. Let me sharpen your teeth.
That intimacy is very true.
Michael, get your clouds right.
It is like, it's just weird. Like, they're outside of the office, but they're also hyper in the office still when they're in a car, because they're still with the people that they work with in an even smaller enclosed space. But they're like, that's all, like, all of employee transfer is that. Poor Daryl, what he goes through on that drive there and back. I mean, he's a third party to so much that's unfolding, like big stuff for the show, like really big plot stuff for the show.
Yeah, another one. Yeah, Michael and Holly's breakup. Yeah.
Right. That happens there. I mean, the proposal with Jim and Pam, I mean, it's not necessarily car based, but it's like there are these moments where big stuff happens in these tiny, tiny little pods outside of the office. And not a ton of the show happens out like way outside of the office. And so the cars let us kind of cheat that and get around that sometimes.
We think too about like some of the small moments that you get to see in relationships. Like, I'm thinking when Michael and Jan are driving together and something, how about Chinese? Save money, something cheap. Chinese was my cheap suggestion. the little interactions that they can have together in the car.
I thought you were gonna say cocktails with Jan.
Yes, that's what I was.
Well, if that's the way you feel, my lady, then you have hurt me greatly. And then Dwight popping in with, "Don't break up, guys. Yeah. You're great together."
One of my all-time favorite car moments is when Michael and Dwight are in the car, and Michael has Jan on speakerphone, and, you know, "All right, talk to you later, Jan."
Yeah. Hi, Jan.
Yeah. There's any number. Meredith's van. It's a really fun way to kind of slice up the show, just to look at that very particular segment.
There's sort of like a way of doing, like, talking heads with two people at a time in a way.
Yeah.
Where they sort of like, we get a sidebar that probably wouldn't happen in. If it happens in the office, it's like two people in the bathroom, or usually it's in Michael's office, or they go into the conference room or something. Out in
that
there,
back stairwell.
Yeah, back stairwell. And here it's like they can just talk openly without anyone around.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the office is like this little confessional almost for characters on the show, except when there's a third person present. And
In the bathroom or in the stairwell in the kitchen, so much of that is often incidental. The characters are walking past each other, or one of them is getting coffee while the other one is passing through. And with the car and with the talking head, they're sitting side by side and they're often talking to the camera together versus when they're in the car, they're talking to each other together and they're just kind of stuck there and they're just having that conversation. So it's it naturally feels different.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. The other bucket of car scenes for me is cars being used as a device. Now that could be Andy using his Prius as a weapon.
Yes.
That could be the watermelon hitting Stanley's car. this could be, there's all sorts of ways that they use cars for this. Moe's jumping over the cars, Andy taking a dump on David Wallace's car. There's a lot of examples.
Stanley destroying Michael's PT Cruiser with the crowbar.
Yes, these are cars that are used to make a point. Michael driving away from Ryan as he tries to get in the van. Just little things where the car is used to, often as a sight gag, often as a just kind of throwaway joke, but where it's not, the action's not happening actually inside the car necessarily, but, or in Fun Run when the car is used to transport, you know, Oscar and, I don't know. There's just those sort of other sight gags. Dwight driving away in Initiation, you know, where the car is just used as the joke.
Or in the injury when he hurts himself, like he hits the pole.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He leaves his bumper.
Throws up all over the hood.
Mm-hmm. Or Michael hitting Meredith. That's, you know.
Or no, Dwight throws up over the back of his car.
Yeah.
His back window. Not his
or Meredith not making the parking spot. I feel like that's, I don't think she's going to make it.
There's the
not gonna make this one.
There's the when Pam and Dwight vandalize what's his name's car?
Frank.
Frank's car.
Oh yeah.
Draw his penis.
Mm-hmm. And of course the ultimate combining of those two things, which is Florida Stanley in a separate car. Different, whole different car.
Mm-hmm. Did I say anyway. Messina?
Beautiful weather today.
Angela smashing an ice cream cone on Andy's car. That's an uncomfortable physical thing for me to watch.
He takes the bite and she rolls down the window.
I've talked before about seeing foods spread on things that shouldn't have food on them or just in a blank.
Know if I'm familiar with this.
What?
The main thing. No, that's a bad way to describe it. So what I've talked mainly before is the way D'Angelo throws the whole cake slice in an empty garbage can.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's that one. There's other times where a lot of food is thrown and just to an empty garbage. I don't know why. Like it food that's you? Totally
tiramisu.
Untouched. Yeah. And then the other one, the big one is Angela just shoving the ice cream cone into the side of Andy's car. It's just physically, something about it is so, it's like nails on a chalkboard to me.
Do you
just
feel that
like
way?
Like when D'Angelo cooks the like marshmallow this, on yeah. it.
Yes. Yes.
Because I guess that one does too. That one weirds me out.
He's making it on a non like cooking surface. He's whistling to himself.
Yes. And like not even a bite of the food. Oops, sorry. That was accidental. Like not even a bite of the food has been had. It's just upsetting to me.
Well, back to car moments. I mean, I think we can't go without talking about some of, you know, the greatest car moments of all time. Specifically, maybe indisputable, the lake, Michael driving his car into a lake as maybe the greatest car moment.
That was my favorite, yes. We reviewed what we talked about this on episode 110.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had a listener question about this.
Yes, was the genesis for this topic, yes.
Yeah.
We talked about Michael in the lake, and I mean, there are so many others. We could just move into that as we normally do.
Some waves.
So they actually talked about this on Office Ladies when they talked about Dunder Mifflin Infinity. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting because, you know, we were talking about the different POVs for the camera in the car. And I guess this was a big thing for, I think it's Randall Einhorn is the DP for the show, was insistent that he be in the back seat with a handheld camera for this stunt. And, you know, I think the lipstick camera, the hidden cameras they use are like $500 and the handheld camera that they use is like $130,000.
Wow.
And so it was a really big deal for him to be like, I'll make sure that the camera doesn't get wet.
They didn't waterproof it, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, I love stories like that because it's like the dedication to the joke. It's just like it's going to be so much funnier if I'm in the back seat, kind of freaking out along with them with the handheld camera and capturing that action. I guess like Steve Carell was sort of just like, oh yeah, I actually drove a car into a lake. And then later Randall Einhorn was like, no, the car was like on a track and had no motor or gasoline and was totally rigged to stop at a certain point.
That is a really good point though, that the point of view of the camera has a huge influence on how we like view those scenes and how funny they are. I mean, that's a really, cause you're kind of in the car with Michael and Dwight when that's all happening, and versus when, Daryl and Holly and Michael are on the way to Nashua and, you see all three of them together in a row. So you can watch how uncomfortable all three of them are.
Yes.
When Michael is saying, please, please don't do this. I'll go back to Jen and I hate Jen. And Daryl is...
self-aware moment Michael Scott's ever had.
Daryl makes a phone call. He's like, can you tell me that story about that thing? Please call me back.
Does he call Kelly?
I think he calls Kelly, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I think that's the joke, is that he's like trying to...
He'll even listen to...
Yeah, alleviate. Yeah. Or like the angle of Dwight hitting his head against the back of the headrest. Like there's the, mm-hmm. the camera angle plays such a huge role in that. Or Michael turning around to face the camera and Dwight hits him with the shoe.
Yes. Oh, that's good.
It would be better if you were unconscious.
That's a really good moment.
Yeah. I mean, certainly Branch Wars, they've got the straight looking back at the three of them with Dwight in the middle.
That one's
and all their mustaches on. Yeah.
Such a good shot.
Utica. Utica. Mm-hmm. And then it goes a commercial break, and then when it comes back, in your face.
Would that be a good Halloween costume for the three of us?
That would be a good Halloween costume.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Warehouse shirts, fake mustaches. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You could just use Philly a string. Real one, Sean.
You yeah. too.
Jumbo chalk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be fun.
That'd be great. Have you seen
Have you seen the deleted scene where they actually show them stuck against the railing with the cop here?
No. I have not watched
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there's a deleted scene where they're wedged against the copy between the copier and the railing. Both of them are stuck.
Oh my gosh.
And they just walk in and look at them. And Dwight says, Thunder Mifflin. And he just sprays Silly String into the air.
Oh my gosh.
We could take a picture of the three of us sitting on a couch with our arms folded.
There we go.
Yeah.
Ryan can be Karen.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of my favorite car moments. It's not even inside a car, but it's in the delivery when Michael pulls up to the hospital and like you have to be such an idiot to park to think it's okay. To think that you're special enough to park in a place where an ambulance should go. And the way he just throws his keys and says, I just did. It's one of his best movie moments where he's really the star of his own
he's
action
in a movie.
He's the main character.
He's the main character, not Jim and Pam. Yeah. And that just killed me when that happened.
I am a Class C licensed driver in the state of Pennsylvania.
And he says... And when they say he can't park there, he goes, Dunder Mifflin, it's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, what a dumbass.
I think we haven't talked enough about Meredith's van. I feel like Meredith's van is one of the more signature cars. We don't get too many scenes inside of it. Yeah.
True shaggin' wagon.
Yeah. Yep. Sean is miming the signs.
I weirdly know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Meet me in Meredith's van in 5 minutes. You didn't. Okay.
The
way he ends the pacing.
Does he do the run to the van?
It's
driving.
Wheel. It's a little steering wheel.
Oh, got it.
Drink.
Yes.
Watch 5 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no, I love in Whistleblower, Kelly and Daryl and Pam all admitting that they told somebody. Michael's just freaking out. Oh, gosh.
Or just in the injury when Jim, Michael, and Dwight are all driving to the hospital. That's like one of the best car scenes in the whole show.
Yeah.
Dwight finds the booze. Jim has the spray bottle.
You can't fire me. I don't work in this van.
Yeah. All time great. Or when they're all in the car together, women's appreciation. My car, my rules. Yeah.
Her watching her scrape out of that parking spot.
Yeah. Or when Meredith is giving Jim a ride home. Pester, get off the pot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Just from the open window. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm singling you out.
Yeah. Are they in Meredith's van when they go watch to see if Robert California and Aaron...
Remember Andy. Yes. Robert. I think Andy drives Meredith's van home for her. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Wanted to make sure California wasn't
going to stick it in you.
Didn't put it in you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Lying son of a bitch. I'll still be talking about geishas long past their bedtime. You know, I trained as one.
Okay. Well, all right.
Shit. Yeah, where do we go from here? We're just driving in circles now.
So
I know.
Michael and Dwight, I think, like I said, just amazing moments in their friendship. Terminator, I don't understand what you spent your money on. We got to put the top down so everyone can see us. There's a lot of those moments when they're waiting outside of David Wallace's house.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. top moments in Dunder Mifflin history.
We did it. Dwight's Firebird probably deserves a mention or two as a notable.
Oh, yes.
The Pontiac.
The sales call. When he has to, he totally forgets about the sales call.
Screw gun.
That's what he said.
Yeah. I love Michael and Ryan in the car as well. Like when they're in the, they're in the car.
Yes.
Yeah. In
that one is in the fire.
The fire. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
God.
But then
the way Michael turns and looks at Ryan so close to him and just like, what do you think? It made me laugh so hard the first time I saw that.
And in, business school when, they're driving together.
Oh yeah.
You're such a little spazzy boy. A little spazzy boy.
Gives him a couple tickles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This needs to be brought up too, sure, of course. Yeah. Which is yet another vantage point we haven't talked about, which is the car is in front of the car where the scene's happening, filming behind them.
Mm.
Namely in Niagara when Pam drives Andy to the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
And also in a Diwali when Pam is giving Michael a ride home.
Oh,
I think that's
yeah.
I think that shot as well.
That's right. I think that's also how they shoot Michael taking Meredith to rehab.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh,
where are we going? It's a new
what
place.
That is. All right. My God. These aren't my shoes.
These aren't my shoes. Speaking of moments where they're trapped, I mean, there's when they're coming back after double date. When
that's the rare four person in the car.
Jim and Pam, or Jim and Michael up front, and Helene and Pam are in the back. What am I supposed to do now? Well, hobbies. Oh, just stop.
Well,
stop
hobbies.
Talking.
She's like, I'm 58. Right. Oh man. Oh, that's so uncomfortable. That whole episode is not. Not talked about enough in the pantheon of cringe episodes.
It's a very real part of life that they managed to capture very well, like car conversations. Yeah. You know,
you're right.
It's a really fun way to look at the show.
Definitely, I think I think we might be moving on here soon from our main topic.
Moving on,
but I wanted
episode 16.
I think maybe like one of the most excitingly romantic moments in the show is also in a car when we see Pam, when the cameras follow Pam leaving work and then she gets in the car with Jim and then they show the video to Pam and Jim later.
Are you kidding me?
But I mean, just speaking of intimate moments, you know, it's like, of course we're excited to see them driving home together. And that they make a point to drive home together themselves.
The one last one that I wanted to mention, which is the opposite of so many of these, which is the characters are in this small location together and they have to talk to each other, is when Andy is driving Kelly and Aaron up to the wedding and they're both listening to their headphones.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't want to sit up front or talk to me. No, it's like you're our personal chauffeur.
Yeah.
This is great. Yeah.
Like, oh, I wouldn't want Kelly to be alone in the back. Something like that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well,
a fun topic, that's for sure.
There you have it. Car moments. We know you will. So need I even ask? Please send us your favorite car moments. I know. I'm sure we've missed some.
We were never going to get them all. We were just talking about what they could be and
exactly
some favorites and things that come to mind. There are so many that we're forgetting.
Cleaning out Michael's car in season one.
That's like one of the first ones that like
it's a great
shows
character
that,
moment.
Yeah.
Ooh, and put that
filet fishes.
Mm-hmm. It's over the course of several months.
Still.
Yeah. I would like that in the passenger cup holder.
Blue is not a flavor. It says blue blast.
Yeah. Ooh, blue blast. All right, there you have it. Car moments. Let's move on to ordinary things.
But first, we'll take a quick break.
Hi, friends. MeUndies believes that comfort is about more than what's touching your skin. It's about feeling comfortable in your skin. That's why MeUndies not only uses sustainable, breathable, soft-as-heck fabric, but they also give you endless styles to choose from. It's total comfort inside and out. I've got some MeUndies product, some lounge pants, some underwear, some socks. It's all incredibly comfortable, and I highly recommend it to everyone. It's perfect if you're working from home or lounging at home, whatever you're up to. MeUndies offers classic colors to ridiculous prints. It's also you can fully express yourself in your own unique way. And MeUndies is also available in a range of sizes, ranging from extra small to 4XL. Never leave your couch again with the MeUndies membership, a monthly subscription that sends new pairs right to your door. Each month, you'll choose new undies, socks, or a bralette and pick the style and color or print that feels the most you. Fun, right? Fun! Plus, enjoy discounted pricing, free shipping, and exclusive early access to new launches. Love your butt and get the membership. MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. MeUndies also has their problem-free philosophy. If you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, they'll refund it or exchange it. No caveats, no questions. To get 15% off your first order and free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/Scott. That's MeUndies.com/Scott. S-C-O-T-T. Oh, wow. Albert, Boner Patrol.
That is our building. And we sell paper.
All right, so for this week's episode, we wanted to do an Ordinary Things segment where we talk about our own lives and how this episode topic, maybe we have some examples from our own lives that live up to this. So for this week, I was thinking about car moments, road trip moments that we shared between the three of us or that we have to share. Do you guys want to go first or should I lead it off?
I was actually just road tripping down to Ojai, California with Ryan. And Ryan came
home. She does our artwork.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ryan Lloyd. Special thanks. No, we were driving down and we started coming up with tongue twisters as a way to pass time.
I remember. Gross. Okay. Yes. You told me about these. Yeah.
So one that Ryan mostly came up with was a bunch of vagabonds are bussing bags of bonds on their merry way to Berry Pick with Barry Bonds.
Wow. That's good.
And then when we were at a rest stop...
One more time.
It's a bunch of vagabonds are bussing bags of bonds on their way to Berry Pick, on their merry way to Berry Pick with Barry Bonds.
The coolest thing about that is that you guys know who Barry Bonds is.
Well, we've heard the name, yes.
Mm-hmm. From the Kanye song, I'm right. guessing.
Right.
And from our friend Will.
Yeah. Then we saw at a rest stop, we saw a guy with a man bun. So we made this one. Two random tanned chums with man buns and no thumbs chew bland gum in tandem.
Wow. Okay, you read these to us or to me. Sound like Earl Sweatshirt lines.
Yeah.
You're right. And then finally, we were passing through Redding, California. So we said we came up with, we're regretting attending Betty and Freddie's sweaty wedding in Redding.
I recorded an episode of this at a wedding in Redding.
Oh, really?
I believe it was the Threat Level Midnight episode.
Were you regretting attending
that
wedding?
No, I was not.
Was it sweaty?
I got to meet Dan's family. It was a little sweaty. It was a little sweaty.
Yeah.
But that's what a wedding in Redding gets you.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. That's my road trip story.
Nice.
I've got a couple that involve each of you in different ways. So the first one that I thought of was a couple years ago, me and Sean and our friend Jordan were driving back from somewhere. I think it was in Bend, Oregon. Mm-hmm. And I didn't drive out with you guys, but I rode back. And on the way out, you guys were listening to this audiobook. And so when I rode back with you guys were already partway through the audiobook and you wanted to keep listening to it. So I was to this audiobook
this was
with no context.
From Peter's bachelor
okay,
party.
Yes, that's what it was. And then it was Frank McCourt's autobiography, is that right?
Yeah. Tis.
Yes.
Yeah. So an office tie with Angela's Ashes.
Yeah.
Top of the morning to it.
Top of the morning to you.
So, but I did a lot of this. I just want to hear Sean do the voice of
the impression of going down to the docks and getting food.
Yeah, it was like, it felt like several different times, like someone would be mean to him. And, like, she accused me of stealing her jewelry, but I didn't know what to say. So I just went down to the pub and had a few pints.
Every time. Just drinking.
That's like what I remember too. He's like, I went down to the bar and I had a sausage with mustard and onions. And then I went home and talked to Mary. Yeah.
I thought about telling her how I loved her and how the guys down at the docks made me feel like I wasn't worth anything. But I didn't know what to say, so I just went down to the pub.
Had a sausage and a pint.
Yeah.
It was just like 3 hours of that.
Yeah.
Every paragraph ends with a sausage and a pint.
That's how he gets through life.
Mine's quick. This is also a story about, as I can remember, the hardest time I've laughed, or the most pain I've ever been in from laughter, which was not a huge road trip, but I drove down with our friend Mitch, and I don't think Pat, when we met Pat Higgins, there, we met a bunch of people at Triangle Lake outside of Eugene.
Okay.
You know, so like 2.5-3 hour drive from where we were. We drove down in the morning. We were there all day. It was hot. We had a great time, and then drove back at night. And so the drive back, we were just wiped on this drive home. And at some point driving up I-5, Mitch's friend, the girl who was driving us, I forget even how it came up, but Chewbacca came up. And then, like, Mitch, we were really tired and sleepy, and we were in the, like, wet noodle stage of, like, anything you say, we're just laughing a ton. And he just, we were so tired, and Chewbacca came up, and he did an impression of Chewbacca waking up in the morning. Which is really just like yawning while you make that sound. I can't do it. I'm not even going to try. But I don't know. Mitch was who was actually so tired and did just like a long, loud yawn. And I remember I remember looking at an exit and I was like, I laughed for like 12 miles. I couldn't stop and it got infectious in the car. And I was in so much pain. It was like, we might have to pull over. It was a really stupid thing that just, I've never laughed that hard though. Sometimes the timing and just how the day's gone, you're just laughing. You can't stop.
That I had that I thought of, because Alex, you were there for this one, and you wouldn't remember it, but it was, we were again college days, and you,
is
me and Mitch,
Kansas City.
Oh, no, okay. No, you, me and Mitch were driving back to Eugene from Portland, and I remember when I got in the car, I was feeling kind of hungover, so I was feeling kind of sick. And I felt better over the course of the drive. But over the course of the drive, I finished the book I was reading. And I don't remember which book it was, but it was very good. And I remember at the end, like, feeling like, you know, when you finish a book, like, you think about it quite a bit. And, like, and it was just the range of emotions from feeling physically sick to, like, very positive in thought in one car ride.
That was, like, oh, yeah. I thought you were going to bring up in it. Will playing the music in Kansas City.
Oh,
when
we
drove out to the barbecue
spot.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like the most hungover I've ever been.
When a Fire Starts to Burn by Disclosure, which is just like a repeating, when a fire starts to burn. Yeah.
It's very grating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also you guys were like reading every single sign or something.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, what's the worst? And it was like five people in a small sedan. And it was like, hey, Alex, what's the worst situation for a hangover? How about this? Like sitting in middle seat while Will just oblivious, just blasting that song of just like, dude, I can't take this right now.
We kept saying the same thing again and again. And somebody in the car was like, you guys can say that one more time.
That was me. Yeah. I hit my limit and I was like, you guys get to make that joke one more time. And we're done.
Scooters is rooted in quality.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. Yeah. That was it.
Anyway.
Well, there you have it. There's Ordinary Things for you. Alex, you going to take us to the conference room?
Yeah. Come on into the conference room, gentlemen.
Okay, everybody, listen up. If you are not in that conference room in 2 minutes, I am going to kill you.
All right, guys, conference room. This is just a voicemail prompt. A question coming from Emma.
Hi, guys. My name's Emma. I'm from Wisconsin. I love the podcast. You guys are so funny. I'm a big fan. Oh, I listen every week. I was just wondering who you guys would pick for the friend, marry, or kill. So, for example, I think I would befriend Meredith, I would marry Jim, and I would kill either Gabe or Nick from IT, because I can't stand either of them.
Nick from IT.
But I was just wondering what you guys thought about that.
Thanks, Emma. Thank you, Emma.
Thank
so
you.
Wait, she said she would friend...
Friend Meredith, marry Jim, and kill either Gabe or Nick.
Okay, yeah.
Now, I just thought this was a good prompt. Thank you so much, Emma. This was a good prompt, and so I'm gonna pre-select three characters for you so that you have something to pick from.
Okay.
Friend, marry, kill. I like this is the PG version of this game that we've played.
Yes.
So friend, marry, kill. And I have four different prompts for you. The first one we're calling the boss battle. This is D'Angelo, Jan, and Robert California.
Ooh. We have to marry one.
You have to marry one, friend one, and kill one.
Robert California might be an international criminal and sex trafficker, so I'm going to kill him.
Good call.
For the good of humanity.
I agree with that.
That leaves me with befriending D'Angelo and marrying Jan. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? I was going to marry D'Angelo.
I'm with Sean, I think. Marry Jan and friend D'Angelo.
Well, with Jan's great success now, you know, I could be the stay-at-home dad. You know, just have her take care of me. That would be all right with that. D'Angelo, I don't know
if I can really
even be his roommate.
You could help Jan record her Doris Day covers.
Yeah.
But the other thing about D'Angelo is we only see him in this short burst, but if we saw him as much as we saw Jan, he probably would have been equally or more erratic than Jan, I think.
It's true.
Yeah.
But we don't see that. What we do see is he likes shooting on a Nerf hoop.
Yeah, as a friend. Yeah, shoot on the mini hoop.
He likes the Southwest.
Yeah, put a little English on it. Yeah.
Yeah. We'd get along. We'd make a movie. I'll marry D'Angelo. I'd like to friend Jan. Jan seems like a great friend to go blow off steam and get drunk with.
Maybe
three to four times a year, like not a ton.
You could eat like a really big brunch and she'd just have coffee.
Yeah.
It's all from me. Yeah. It's all on the
table.
Go to
Liz Claiborne's.
Yeah.
No big deal.
And Taylor Great day. Loft.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Cool. Boss battle.
We kind of got there. That was next category. Dudes that are just kind of off. These are all minors. All right. Yeah. Reed. That's Aaron's brother.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Tom. That's Jim's childhood friend who shows up at the seminar.
Here's your jetpack, Zuckerberg.
And Brandon, Valerie's boyfriend who brings the Jamaican food.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm gonna marry Brandon.
Hope y'all like goat.
He's so vindictive and weird.
Yeah. No, yeah, but I do love Jamaican food. I do. I'm down with that. I hope he... I'd love for him to cook for me. I'll treat him right, not like Valerie.
Yeah.
And then I'll befriend,
Reed, Tom, and Brandon. Are we all aligned on marrying Brandon?
I don't know. I feel like, okay.
He does that is sure. so weird.
I think,
yeah, it is.
I think kill Reed. That's the, that would be my, my first
kill
impulse
Reed.
There. Yeah.
Kill Reed. Yeah, sure. You're right.
All right.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Tom seems like he needs a friend, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah. boy, don't cross him. He will never get over it.
I mean, it's fine. We could be in the same reading group. We could just set that standard up front. It'd be totally fine.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm.
Just totally fine for two adults to be in the same reading group. And then I guess you marry Brandon. I don't know.
So we're killing Reed. We're befriending Tom. We're marrying Brandon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just for the food? Okay.
Yes.
Good.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, the other two don't have any redeeming qualities about them. So, yes, I'm marrying Brandon for the food.
I don't know. Tom's working on a business idea. It's kind of cool. Anyway.
Maybe.
All right. That's dudes that are just kind of off. Next category is the Andes. Boner Champ, Baby Wawa, and Drew.
Marry.
So Boner Champ, we're going college.
Yeah.
Like pre-anger management, Andy. Mm-hmm. Drew would be post-anger management, Andy. And Baby Wawa is whatever bastardized version of
post-anger management, Andy.
I think this is easy. Marry Drew, befriend Boner Champ, kill Baby Wawa.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A baby Wawa might have some redeeming qualities.
I mean, he's famous.
He's matured.
The version of Andy after baby Wawa, like, yeah, is better, yeah, but yeah.
Baby Wawa knows Aaron Rodgers. It's kind of, yeah, cool.
And Santi Gold.
All right. Cool. That one was easy. All right. Last one here. The category I'm calling Brief Yet Beautiful Outsiders. Charles Minor, Danny Cordray, and Katie the Purse Girl.
Oh, wow. Okay. Marry Katie the Purse Girl, because that's Amy Adams.
It's not Amy Adams. It's Katie the Purse Girl.
Fine. Have it your way.
Okay.
I'll still marry her. And then...
Piss slop who cares, huh?
Befriend Danny Cordray.
I'm going to marry Charles Minor myself.
Mm-hmm. What?
I'm going to marry Charles Minor. Oh, yes. Are you kidding me?
You guys would...
He makes the best living out of anyone there. I'm going to become a huge soccer fan, and it's going to be great.
All right. Yeah, I guess so.
I'll kind of be
the silly one. He's very competitive.
You're
going to have serious. You're going to have
Dude,
to let him
I'm
win.
I'm really competitive, all right?
I know that.
That's true. You are very competitive, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Dude, shut the fuck up. I'm competitive, okay?
You think he's competitive?
You think he's competitive, dude? I'm competitive.
That's I see conflict in your future.
No, no.
All right.
I don't.
But I'm going to befriend Danny Cordray because he's got a bar called Public School. Cool name. yeah, I think he'd be a fun guy to know.
Yeah.
No drama with Danny Cordray. The way he just kind of, you know, is able to just get by, yeah, that whole Jim and Pam thing. Mm-hmm.
Danny's so neutral. It's hard to have like a great read on him, you know. Yeah. He's only in the office for a handful of episodes.
Yeah. Might have a quick temper, which is why I would say, you know, sticking with marrying Katie the Purse Girl.
You vodka man, Danny? Me too. I guess, you know what? I like soccer. I guess I'd friend Charles, marry Katie, and kill Danny.
Kill Danny? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
Fine.
One less dude.
That's my friend you're soccer. Talking about.
That's
my husband.
Yeah. Oh, some marriage you meet with the floozies at the bar. Hey, man, that's my wife.
All right, great.
That's it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Emma.
Thank you, Emma.
I'm sure there's many, many different sets that people will send us.
Yeah,
that's
fun.
But
yeah,
that was a way to start.
Fabulous. All right, let's do some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
All right, today's trivia comes to us from Curtis. Curtis says, hello, I love the podcast. I wanted to share that I'm from Tallahassee, Florida.
Hello.
And Azalea Road is a real street name that Jo Bennett mentions in her book, so kudos to the writers. But anyways, here's a question that's from the episode Scott's Tot. This is a single question trivia for you today.
Okay.
Because I'll be impressed if you can get this.
All right.
What is the name of the elementary school Michael Scott pledged college tuition to? Doesn't it feel like one we should know?
They always do.
Mm-hmm. Ed Truck Middle School.
Yeah.
Okay, good guess, Alex. Yeah. Just take a
Robert Dunnell Memorial Elementary.
Nice.
I don't know.
All right. So
West.
It's like a direction and West Ridge, Southfield. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well,
Oakfield Prep. What is it?
It is Daniel J. Flood Elementary.
Oh, okay. I would never.
Nope. We all learned something together today.
Flood.
Daniel J. Flood.
Danny Flood.
Not a Katie or a Robert.
But a Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Danny Cordray.
Well,
it's a public school.
Well, look, I know that was just a quick trivia. Do you guys have more time to record? How is your
right
time?
Now?
Yeah.
What do you got? I got an email.
I just got an email that we did.
Just now?
From Julie. Julie says, hey there, MSPC, longtime listener, first time emailer, aspiring friend of the pod. I recently
You made it. You're in.
You're in. Welcome. Yeah. I recently listened to your murder episode while on a road trip. Boom. After hearing you guys compare office Wi-Fi names, I was so inspired, my little heart could barely take it no more. I feel like all your listeners should get together and collaborate in a big Google Doc on ways to integrate more office jokes into their daily lives. Mm. A place to swallow all of the ideas, digest them, and see what comes out the other end. Of course, the document would be named Golden Ticket Ideas. Mm-hmm. Here are some of my ideas for office-themed Wi-Fi networks. I dictated these into my phone on the road trip. In the same way Michael would with a good book title or screenplay idea. No arms, no legs. Couldn't see, hear, or speak. This is how I led a nation. All right, here we go.
Whoa.
These are Julie's Wi-Fi network names. Hey Place. The Electric City. Steamtown Mall. PP Halpert. Vance Refrigeration. The Vance Annex.
Refrigeration.
Yeah, that's
great.
A good one. Yeah. The Annex. Bobati. Fundle Bundle, creedthoughts.gov.
I like Fundle Bundle.
Computron, Chili's, Bingo Bango Bongo, Satakoi Steel.
Another great one.
Charles Minor, there. Tala Nasty, Poor Richards, the Halberts with a B, Stumpany, Dun Miff Sis.
That's great.
What's that from?
It's the name that Pam uses to chat with Dwight.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Self-aware computer.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. Kelly's Nook, Bookface, Shoe La La, Alfredo's Pizza Cafe, The Finer Things Club, Scrantonicity, Scrantonicity 2, Glare Bear, Justice Beaver, The KGB, Earrings.
That's good.
Snip Snap, Mountainton, and Annie Shelto.
Those are great. I thought of one when you said the Halberds, which is a sconesy cider.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Look at Jim. Scones, thousands of them.
Well, thank you, Julie. And if you have trivia that or lists of Wi-Fi names that you'd like to send us, you can email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail, 503-694-9314. We love to play the voicemails on the show. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com, and we're on Patreon, patreon.com/michaelscott. Become a Scott's Tot for $5 a month. Get a bonus episode every month where we do a mailbag answering questions that we get from Patreon. And there's several episodes up already, so if you join now, there's hours more content.
And we'll have a new Patreon episode coming very soon.
Very soon.
Yeah.
We like to donate a portion of the funds to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. Special thanks to our Scott's Tots. We love you guys so much. If it weren't for you, we wouldn't be doing this anymore. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, designs all our artwork. This episode was recorded over video chat, sort of in Portland, Oregon for you two, but I am out in Bend, Oregon.
Oh, nice.
Let's tee up an autobiography for your drive back home. But, yeah. Hey, thank you for listening. I always... I hope you made it this far, and just know that we truly appreciate you listening to us list our favorite moments and then tell anecdotes from our own lives. We have a lot of fun doing the show, and you guys make doing it all worthwhile. So thank you very much from the bottom of our hearts, really and truly. Take care. Stay safe. We'll see you next week.
Pippity poppy, give me the song.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.